chapter 25 in the Gospel according to Matthew, speaking again with the Lord's help from verse 25. Chapter 15, the Gospel according to Matthew, verse 25. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Faith that is founded upon the Word of God must of necessity be the gift and work of the Holy Spirit, for without faith, all our preaching and hearing is in vain. Faith is the great touchstone of every exercised soul's matter over which they ponder and pray, concerning which they feel that if they have, as the Word of God describes, but a grain of it, they will be the possessors of something of infinite value. Gradual revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ in his person and his office, in his present mediatorial work in heaven, is essential to salvation. It must be a look as Jonah looked, not some look at random to an unknown Athenian god, not a name merely, but a living, knowable, and in measure known person. Not only so, but it must be accompanied with heart feelings, warmth, desire, a going out in secret, not propped up by anyone else, a secret going to the Lord, a secret being driven to the Lord. Without these things, we're very hollow, and indeed, we are but hypocrites. And it pleaseth the Lord to work these things in the hearts of Zion and his people in her. Let us not then underestimate the privileges that are ours still, and the things that we love. We may have a plain chapel, unadorned in every respect. We want no grandeur and greatness, either upon the walls or upon our lips. But what we do want is the humble, gracious Saviour to come into our midst, so that there be that heart burning and the resultant constraint abide with us. And we have these things. Let us not cover them up as if they were unfit to be shown in this 20th century of sad declension. The things that remain are worthy to be strengthened, and the gospel is, as it ever has been, to the glory of God and to the comfort of his living people. There is a mark of grace in this text, a sure word from which a sinner may rest and will rest, not by logical putting two and and two together, not by that ill-fated sword. Christ died for sinners, and I'm a sinner, therefore he died for me. Not that, but a sweet sense, born of a good hope. The prayers of the Scripture are indeed and in truth your prayers. You haven't stolen them. You have been pressed into them, and they pressed into you. They have not come to you from your parents. They have been laid in your heart by one whom you may not know, the Holy Ghost. You may not know him in his blessed work at the moment. And so, as we mentioned this afternoon, here is a contrast, and something upon which you who tremble at the word of the Lord may look. Are you tempted that you are a double-minded man? Do you have the shaft shot at you sometimes, and perhaps not altogether without cause, that you are not what you appear to be? The antidote then is in this pressure which puts this cry, help. The drowning man doesn't prescribe from the waters whether someone shall plunge in after him, or whether they shall throw him a lifeline or a life buoy. His cry is help. He leaves the issue with those that hear him. The person that has fallen over a precipice does not complain that the safety or rescue harness is uncomfortable, does not complain that that drag up the sheer cliff has bruised and scratched them. Help, such as in this text, leaves the issue with the Lord. This is not so easy as it may at first sight appear. Some are ready to be helped, but they like to prescribe how. Naaman was anxious to get rid of his leprosy, but he did not like the beast. At first, and it may well be in some of your hearts, you are convicted of your sin, but you have yet to be brought down to the waters of Jordan. I mean the precious blood of Christ. This cry for help from the good woman left the when, the where, and the by what means to his wisdom. And so it is in every case. And therefore, to come to this condition, there must be what you nor I like. Try. There must be, as Hezekiah found, that incoming, oncoming foe which brings forth this, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are up under thee. I know not what is best for me, Lord. I know not how to get out of this, and I know not how to be kept in it. I know not what the issue will be. abiding, abiding sin. Not the sin of one day and then none tomorrow, but every day. Was it Herbert that said, daily, to feel thyself undone? Daily, sinner. When you come into particular trouble, when you are brought into church exercise, when you are brought into office, when you stand upon Zion's walls, whatever it may be, you cannot in these extremities, such as I stand in before you today, an extremity, prescribe to the Lord how he can do it or what to do, but help. Help, Lord. This cry reached the heart of Jesus. And every such cry will reach his heart, for he has trodden in the same place. There is a wonderful suitability in the Word of God for all occasions. When the time came after some 5 years of exercise for me to stand before the church and to speak for the first time, this was the most suitable word that is to me. Help me, O Lord my God. Save me according to thy mercy, that they may know that this is thy hand, that thou, Lord, hast done it. But this prayer is the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was some years afterwards before I realized that he cried for help. He was in a condition, necessitous. He learned obedience by the things that he suffered. He trod the path of prayer from sheer necessity. He pleaded words which we have no record, save but a few of them. This heavenly friend of sinners, understand. You take the affinity of the prayer meeting when praying men can scarce tumble out a few words. When they pray, Lord help. When they seek to be taught. Look at these old godly men in the church who've had to tread years on and can't pray now and have to say, Lord, teach me to pray. Now you who understand this, you don't say of the old deacon, well, you've been at it for 50 years. Surely you've got beyond that, do you? Your heart goes out to him. You love him. And that's the same, only magnified in the heart of the Redeemer in heaven. He knows what it is to have had to pray help. Under the excruciating suffering and the imperial impenetrable darkness. When his father hid his face. When he was made sin and bore the iniquity of his people. When he felt in his holy soul the heinous nature of imputed sin. And you know what it is to feel it yourself? That's yours. But he, in his holy, spotless humanity, was made sin. Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Lord, now put your help with this, Lord. And what the Lord has told you of himself and revealed himself to you, what he has made the ministry to you in exalting a precious relief. Put these together. Your prayer isn't at random, a shot in the dark, a bow at a venture. Why, your eyes are open to the finished law, the finished work. You know, you believe. Don't say you do not. Don't underestimate, again I say, don't underestimate the Lord helping you what he's done for your soul. Satan will try to do this. He's made you a believer in the righteousness of the Savior. When you go to this blessed man with your sin, you're a believer, aren't you? You say, am I? What says the Scripture? I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that, now hears your word, believeth on me shall never thirst. Coming and believing. Oh, you say, is it true? Yes. I didn't say so. Tis the word of the Lord of life, the bread of life. He that cometh, he that believeth. One and the same thing, of course it is. Help, cried this holy, harmless. His feelings, his heart's engaged there in this matter that you, through unbelief, are rather tempted to think he won't deal with you and your sin and your case. You are the least, it may be, in your father's house, but that isn't any argument against you. There are several very comprehensive as well as sweet references to both great and small. Been a comfort to me sometimes. Both great and small. Not a hoof shall be left behind. So, this word help runs through the sacred page like a scarlet thread. I have laid help upon one that is mighty. Obviously he doesn't want it for himself. Help laid upon one that is mighty. Why, if the Holy Spirit enabled you to meditate for that tonight, to take your night to get through it, and longer, help a He doesn't want that. You do. And it's laid upon him to dispense it. There is a sweet willingness wrought in the heart when this prayer is there that the Lord would help just as he sees best. The cry is all in the word help. And it comes from some of our very low places. Those of you who have been turning this over in your hearts today, I expect to come to some of the deep places in your life, haven't you? When this has been the one word, perhaps faintness of body and heart, affliction, a worn-out mind, incapable of putting prayer, as it were, before the Lord, is dropped into this hell. 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 How blessed is the cry as it comes forth from unfailing. You mean it, don't you? Can't you help yourself? Have you tried? Your answer is yes, I have tried. I've tried all other means. I've got the spirit of Naaman in me still, who says, I surely thought he would come out and put his hand over the place. Ah, you surely thought a good many things. You surely thought the Lord would take the trial away. You thought that in some favored hour at once he'd answer my request. But no. But as with the growth in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and the grace and the peace that flow from him increases, so this knowledge brings with it experience. And experience brings with it patience. The time comes when that cross, that loss, that affliction which you could only see relief in by being taken away, that abiding cross, that thing that's in your life permanent. Got it, hasn't it? Come to me. And you say of this, I shall never be free from this. No, you won't. But there is another way, is there? Can I bear this? Can I suffer and endure this? Must I know my unfitness? Must I ever feel this thorn in my flesh? Shall I never be able to preach? Will the day never come when I can sit down, say the Lord's sermon, and feel that I've preached a good sermon? No, it never will. Never. Why not? Because there's a way out of it. And the way is this. My grace is sufficient for me. This is hell. Wonderful. I've taken my cross to the Lord once or twice and been enabled to see this, that no other cross would do for me. And the wisdom has placed it where it is. And that cross, under such favor, but for a moment it may be, but it has been destroyed. I am unworthy. thou shouldest take the trouble to deal with me in this way as to lay this cross upon my shoulders. Now, you don't complain of the bruises. You don't say, Lord, it's too rough. But what you do say is this, give me more. What Paul desired for every church he wrote to, grace. Give me more grace, Lord. Wonderful thing. And it must, of course, soften the hardest heart and silence the most rebellious. When we come to the word me. Now, my friends, they put blinkers on horses, haven't they? So that they shan't see what's at the side of them. I hope the Lord may be pleased to put such a panacea in my feet. Forget each other. You husbands, forget your wife. Wives, forget your husband. You mothers, your children. You fathers, your children. Me. Lord, help me. Where shall we find the means? Look at Abraham first. Me, that tried to put my hand to the work, to hasten the promise, to hurry up thy word, to connive with my own wife some rearrangement of thy eternal plan. Help me, Lord, the father of the faith, the man after God's own heart, the one who stands as a monument of could not endure the years of waiting for his son Isaac. He put his hand to it. Lord, let him get on with it. Help me. I who have solemnly been sent to put my hand to thy hand, who have been dissatisfied with it, Lord. I, Sarah, who have laughed in my heart and said, ah, this shall never. I, who have looked at the Lord's word and promise and said, I could never. I'm too far gone, too wretched. My case is so different from everybody else's. Not me. Not me, says blind unbelief, not me. The gospel's invitation, no, not me. The sweet exhortations and promises, blind unbelief, says no, not you. Help me. You know what it is? He gave them their desire. Sent leaders into their souls. Now, if any of you, and especially you who are up at the threshold of your life, who have perhaps learned this lesson yet, I say be very careful. Commit thy way unto the Lord and remember the next thing. Trust also in him. Say, well, he's kept me too long. I've waited. Abraham said, I've waited, and I'm still waiting. Hasten. Oh, you say, I haven't got. You haven't got any. No, of course you haven't. And that's what shall be given. Hasten. Glibly, people say, well, I took it to the Lord. but it's well worth the hearing when they're able to say that the Lord kept them waiting, that he perfected their patience. And after he had patiently endured, you see, divine mercy overcomes and covered over that lapse in Abraham's life. The sacred record says, and if they didn't know to the contrary, one would think that Abraham had been faithful all those years of waiting, but he had. Neither of you. No. But it says after he had patiently endured. How can you learn patience except to learn peevishness, fretfulness, hate? Lord, help me. Look at Joseph. Where shall we find a man like him? Well, when the butler was delivered from prison, he made this strange request to him. Here is a man who had the word of the Lord in his heart, and the word of the Lord was trying him. But he got out of patience with it, and he said to the butler, when it is well with thee, remember me. And very bitterly the word followed. Nevertheless, did not the butler remember Joseph, but forget. Then goes on the next chapter, the 41st of Genesis, and after 2 full years, Pharaoh dreamed a dream. Lord help. 2 full years. In prison. Expecting the door to be opened every day until he realized that the butler had forgotten all about it. And then down he goes. And what else? He trusted in an arm of peace. Lord help not to trust in an arm of flesh. Your pastor here has got no arms of flesh that he can trust in for his ministry. You may stand by him lovingly and loyally as a people, I hope you do. But he can't turn to his nearest and dearest and say, will this text do? You can't go home and say, well, what sort of a servant was it today? Can it? No, of course it can't. He'd go home before his car. And he'll tell his Lord what he feels the servant was. But it's this. Lord, help me from trusting in an arm. I don't want to. I don't want to. Look at Samson. Toying with a Delilah. Playing with sin. Seeing how far he could go. Seeing how much poison he could drink to poison him. Like some people do with error, they go and go and go a day, take another sip and another sip, and think, well, this is right and this is right, and see how much they can take till they poison themselves. So with Samson, he toyed with that ungodliness. You young people, be very careful whom you choose. They may have a nice nature. They may have an appealing disposition. But if they have the fear of God in their heart that you have, need I say any more? And Samson is brought into the prison house, his eyes taken out. He comes to this. they call for sport, they bring him out. And he pleads this, Lord, just this one, this last night, give me my sight. Like Abraham, when he pleaded for Sodom and Gomorrah, he said, let not the Lord be angry with me, and I will speak but this one. Just once, O Lord. Have you never said that? Just once more. Help me. Help me once more, Lord. Just once more. Self-abasing, humbling, but oh, it's in the Word, you see. It's there, the path that the Lord has brought his people. Look at Gideon. You want a token. Some of you here want an evidence. The Lord may have begun his work in you and bringing you up to the stage now where he intends to open the flower in your life. You want a token. You know what it is to sing from your heart. Show me a token, Lord, for good. You know what it is, like Rahab wanted, a true token. Where are you going to get it? Where is it coming? You don't know, do you? But you say, Lord, help me. In this matter, your exercise about joining the church, Lord, help, give me a token. Your exercise about taking a major step in your life, Lord, help me. Where did Gideon get his help from? He had a good many tokens beforehand. Sufficient, one would think, to set any man on his feet. But no, even with the fleece, he still wasn't satisfied. The Lord dealt very tenderly with him. But where did he get his true token from that finally moved him? To say, arise. You know where he got it. Went down to the camp of Midian. Cheek by jowl with the enemy. He overheard two men. You know the issue. He got his truest token from his closest proximity to the enemy. Now, how often have sin and Satan strove to rend my soul from thee, my God. When you are suffered and permitted to get down into the depravity of your own heart, and the Holy Ghost is pleased to say to you, sinners can say, and only they, how precious is the Savior. That'll do. That's gospel light. And a part of gospel liberty. That is the freedom of the gospel. That it is sinners, not part sinners, but sinners in their full feeling. And so we might go on to look at the footsteps of the flock, to look at Job. Disobedient, rebellious, flying from God, taking the ship to go away from the Lord altogether, and anxious to get away from God. That's what Jonah desired. He fled from the presence of the Lord. Job did. But Jonah wanted to get away from God. Now, I don't know whether you have faced it as this. I did on one occasion. And the bitterness of it, in respect of the services of the Lord's house, I determined one Sabbath morning to flee from it. And I felt it was utterly impossible for me to go. And I would have gone, but a secret something took me to the Lord's house, angry, yes, rebellious, no test, no, not till I got into the Lord's house. Then these words came with humbling. When the enemies will come in like a flood. Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. It doesn't say when he shall try to come in. No. When he's in, he was in my heart that morning. He was in Jonah's heart. The issue of that day service is to say no more of it was a very humbling one, and in one case a blessing one. Is there anyone here in blind disobedience, rebellion, anger against God, listening, doing so well to be angry? Yes, indeed I do. Me, rebellious, disobedient, me, your pastor here too, doesn't come with airy steps every Sabbath to the sanctuary, you know. Help me. The word is heavy upon his mind. He feels it may come pretty close to some of his flock. He feels, Lord, I wish I had got to speak from this text. Lord, help. Give me a tender heart. Don't let me take the hammer and the nails. Give me a gospel spirit to preach affectionately. Help me to speak in gospel terms. Help the preacher to seek out a Lord, help. So we might go on just one more, your bell. When David was at Ziklag, and the enemy came and took and sacked the city, when David was playing the traitor's part in the enemy's camp, he came to the lowest moment of his life when his own friends, his faithful, lifelong friends, almost spake and stoned him. And what do we read? That David encouraged himself in the Lord. I know what it has been to drink life out of it. What did David find there? I believe he found a faithful God. Here he was and prayed. His own people were so dissatisfied with it. He encouraged himself in divine on faithfulness. Lord, help me, the traitor. Me, the turncoat. Feel it in our hearts. I do. It is enough, said Elijah. Can't go any further. Many a juniper tree, I doubt not, grows in Leatherhead as well as elsewhere. Can't go any further, Lord. Faithfulness. The same. Oh, the same. He altered a little bit, not not a sin. The same, ah, but surely my behaviour's got a mighty order. The same, but surely, surely I, who am so fickle and false, surely, Lord, I'm going to change you. The same yesterday and today and for me. Lord, help me. And so we might go on. But there is one other happy, blessed sequel to this word, Lord. And it is this. King of kings and Lord of lords. You children care to look, and when you get home you'll find that that is in capital letters. I don't want to play on the words, but Lord of lords. He who has helped out here in the way he thought best, by the means that he designed, will one day receive at your hands your crown. You will say, Lord, you were right. You will say, Lord, and it will be boldly in your heart, Lord, you've done all things well. My murmuring, peevish, fretful, unbelieving, wretched heart. Lord, it's all gone. King of kings and Lord of lords. And the me of the text of the Syrophoenician woman will be attached to this blessed acclamation. Crown him, praise unto him that loved us. You see, when you use the pronoun, you are bringing it either, you can bring it to the personal. When you sing a hymn together, and it's us, and you sing it from your heart, that means me. And so it will be in that happy, blessed, solemn day when we are brought to love him as we all, and to see this wonderful word, help, 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 stepped upon everything, and with a goodly, godly Shunammite, able to say with her son, stretched upon the prophet, then it is good. And this is the God we have to serve, Lord. Bottom rung of the land, fast, accessible. Lovest thou me? Thou knowest all things. Leave it there. Don't answer a bold, unexperienced yes, will you? Peter couldn't. He had too much of it. Known so much of the fall and depravity, but what he did say was this. Lord, thou knowest. Lord, help. It'll do to take you to heaven with friends. Good, good helper for our infirmities, this. How many times shall we not have to use it? But there it is. In all its blessed